Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Morning, YouTube Live. We're on. Good morning. Welcome back. I am your host, Dean Weitzman. Every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Hello to our YouTube audience. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to watch us as well as listen, simply surf your way over to the My Philly Lawyer website and click on Court Radio, and that'll take you right in to the studio where we are hanging out today for the next hour, answering your legal questions. Simply give us a call at 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal in Philly.
Dean, how are you?
I am splendid. I thought I was going to be late for the show today because they were cutting trees down in my neighborhood and they had the cars all stopped up for a long time.
You couldn't get out of your neighborhood.
Say again?
You couldn't get out of your neighborhood. You couldn't get out of your area.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. And but then once they let us out, it was zippy, zippy.
And then you jump. Now you're driving which vehicle in which you jumped into hyperspace as you normally do?
Yeah, this is a new one.
You didn't tell us? What? You normally apprise us of a new vehicle.
Yeah.
What's up? What happened?
We're going downstairs, y'all.
Yeah, we got to go see what this is. What you got? What you
we
get?
We could take the cameras and run down.
Maybe we could, but what you get? Tell us what you got. Go Google it.
It's a Mercedes, an SL. 63 SB.
Whole lot of letters and numbers. You know what the deal
is. Letters and numbers.
When you got a whole bunch of when it sounds. That's a, when your car sounds like a password.
That was good.
That was a good one.
Maybe I'll use that.
That'll
for
be a
my
T-shirt
password.
Next week. Yeah, nobody will think about it.
SL63.
So why this one? What is this one known for? This is you're a speed guy. This sounds like luxury.
Well, no, this is. I'm hoping that this is the confluence, the convergence
of it all
of speed. Handling and luxury.
How many horses?
805.
We'll go down and take
that's a lot. That's a lot of Kentucky Derbies,
go ahead,
baby.
Mr. Ed. What color is it? It's downstairs.
1,050 torque pounds of feet.
Oh boy!
Yeah, this is a bad little
boy
thing.
And his toy. So, what color is it?
They call this Magno Gray. It's that matte paint that Mercedes does. It's a little thing. It's a convertible.
So you won this at what, poker, blackjack?
Yeah, I was at the poker table last night. Yeah. Some guy was foolish enough to take me on.
We know. We've heard the stories.
Yeah. Zip. Give me those keys. Give me that pink slip. Woo, that.
Ooh, boy. That
dates us, though.
That has happened.
That's what we call it, Fast, Furious, and Weitzman.
Yeah. I did settle a case at the poker table a couple days ago.
How does that work?
Oh, yeah. Damn. The adjuster was working late. Oh, my phone rang. It was about 9:30 at night, and she said, I hope I'm not disturbing you.
No.
Never. You can't disturb me. And, the client's case resolved. We had spoke before. She had made an offer. It was not all that attractive of an offer. I think it was $75,000. And in that conversation, we moved from $75,000 to $260,000.
You went from 75 to 260,000. So one went high, one went low. You met in the middle. somewhere, right?
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, I used reason. Reason. Yeah.
Like, and a bit of nuggeting.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
So the client's happy, and the matter's resolved.
That's the end of the day. That's all you want?
Yep. Another happy client.
Now, speaking of client.
Who happens to have become a client through listening to Court Radio.
Yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
It's way to do it.
Yeah.
We're effective.
It's way to do it.
Now, Dean, you yourself. You've been going through some struggles.
Oy vey. Yes.
So
that's a time to use oy vey.
This is an oy vey moment?
Yes, it is an oy vey moment. I'm going to give you the kind of the lowdown here.
Long story short.
We were out, my wife and I, and the kids were home alone. And I get a call from Soph that the dishwasher is leaking.
Soph is your daughter.
Soph is my daughter.
Right. Yeah.
And so I said, that doesn't sound good. I said, do me a favor. Open the dishwasher because that'll shut the cycle off and it'll close down. And whatever water's in there, maybe there's like a rip in the seal. And so, you know, some more may come out, but not too much. Put towels down. And we'll be home soon. And then I forgot about it.
Okay. This is about what time?
This is about maybe 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock at night. You're out the house, you and the wife, dinner, the kids are home alone, dishwasher. So you figure it's good, it's 10 o'clock. So how long before you get home?
Well, an hour and a half later, I get a call from Jackson, my son.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Dad, we've been laying towels down, but we can't get this thing to stop leaking. So I said, oh, yeah, all right, I'm coming home. And so I just dropped everything and went right home. Well, you've been in the house.
Yes.
Okay. So you know where the kitchen is?
Yep.
You know how it's attached kind of to the great room, to the family room?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was water from the kitchen sink area all the way to that 100-inch TV on the other side of the room.
That's a lot of water.
That's a lot of space, a lot of water.
It's a lot of space. It's
you know,
a lot
they
of
got
room.
That, you got that big huge sofa.
Thing, right, the big sofa, the carpet, the TV. Yeah. Isn't that on top of the wall? Is there a fireplace there, right?
Yes.
Right. It's, huge. It's a huge space. It really is big.
So they had used every towel in the house. Okay. So now I'm grabbing. First I had to address the fact that the water is pouring out of the dishwasher.
And just dripping.
Not dripping, pouring. And I had the damn thing. I unplugged the dishwasher. It's still pouring.
This is a plumbing issue, not electricity.
And so I had to go to the household shutoff.
Right.
And I shut the water off on the house. Meanwhile, all the water from the living room leaks through the hardwood floors into the basement.
Which is just as vast as upstairs.
Yeah. And there's a pool table under this. And luckily, I had this like heavy vinyl cover over the pool table that it comes with, because there was 3 inches of water sitting on top of this vinyl cover on top of the pool table.
Whoa!
Yeah, it was.
But it did its job.
It did its job, but the pool table was saved, but not much else.
So the basement
drywall
too.
All over the ceiling and the walls of the insulation, all that's came out and. They spent 2 weeks at the house just drying it out. I called, I'll give them a shout out. I called ServPro.
Huh.
You know that ads on the TV?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I called them. They had these massive dryers and dehumidifiers, and they were running nonstop for 2 weeks. Because what you don't want to do is get that black mold. Yeah, you get that black mold, forget it. They're going to have to tear your house down and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in a depression.
Sure.
I was.
Every day you got to come home to this.
The sound was deafening.
I believe it.
But, you know, I was in a depression because I thought, oh, this is going to cost me a fortune. I can't even imagine. And so I called the insurance company the next day.
This is homeowners.
Yeah. It's my homeowners company. It's Chubb. I have Chubb.
Chubb.
Chubb. Chubb.
Chubb.
Chubb. And
I got nothing. Go ahead.
And they said, you know, we'll send somebody out. But, you know, they said, did you remediate? Did you take steps to, you know, to dry it out? Yeah. And by then I had, because the first call I made was to the remediation company. Because your insurance company wants you to take some emergency steps to be able to limit the damage. You got to start reducing the damage. You got to get the water out of there. And so we did that, and they've been great. I have to say they've been great. They came out. They took a look at the place. The remediation company ended up estimating the damage. Sometimes people use a public adjuster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you'll do it on your own. I happen to have used the remediation company to provide us with an estimate. They brought in floor guys and they brought in, you know, contractors for the walls and things like that. Everybody gave them their numbers, and the remediation company reduced those numbers to a whole plan, what we need to do to get this house back to where it was. And, the hardwood floors, like, we have hardwood floors on the other side of the hallway. So there's my office on the other side and a little sitting room.
Mm.
They replaced those as well because line of sight. You can see them from parts of the house where their floors were damaged. So because of that, they want to make sure that these floors match because they currently match. So they want to put your house back to the way it was.
Sure.
Before the flood. Anyway, like $190,000 worth of damage.
That's a lot of damage.
Water is everywhere, you know.
It made the Grand Canyon. It came with it once.
the basement floor needs to be replaced.
What about stuff like your carpet, your furniture, your furnishings, any of that stuff?
Anything damaged that can't be made back to the way it was.
You didn't have cheap stuff.
No, we didn't. And see, where you have to be careful. We did not have expensive carpets. But if you had some expensive carpets, you may have to schedule that. And what I want to explain to listeners is that when you get a homeowner's policy, there are some limitations within that policy. For instance, the most obvious, jewelry. Okay, they may pay $2,500 for jewelry if your jewelry is stolen or lost. If you've got a watch that's worth $10,000, the only way you're getting paid for that watch is if you let the insurance company know before, you know, when you get your policy, they come, they value that watch. They'll maybe ask for an appraisal. Mm. And then that watch gets placed on a separate schedule that you pay a little extra for. So you can't just, again, you have to look at your possessions. If you've got an antique rug that you got from grandma that came from Persia that's worth 50 G's, you're not probably going to get that rug replaced unless it's on a schedule. You have to talk to your insurance people. You have to tell them what you have so they can advise you properly on how to best insure your property. Otherwise, you're going to be upset when the time comes and the Persian rug gets burned or, you know, flooded and they're going to give you $2,500 to replace it with a Amazon rug.
Amazon rug.
Amazon rug.
Not the folks, in case you're wondering, you're listening to Damage Control with Dean Weissman, my Philly lawyer. The number is 215-227-2727, 215-227-2727. There are people listening that I'm sure have gone through a flood. I've been through floods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got the kind of flood where water comes from outside in. So that's a flood where the water comes below grade and rises up. Okay, mm-hmm. That's not a flood you're probably getting paid for unless you have a flood policy. Yeah,
but if you're not in a flood zone,
you can't. You might have difficulty getting a flood policy. But even in a non You may be able to get flood insurance even in a non-flood zone. But, again, in a non-flood zone, there's a very small chance you're going to get flooded. But, yeah, I guess it happens. But definitely in flood zones, at the Shore House, I have to have a flood policy.
Right.
And if the water is coming from outside in and up, then that's a flood that requires
outside
your flood policy.
This was from the inside.
This was from the inside down.
Down.
Yeah.
It's a difference. It's
a big difference. If you got a hole in your roof and water comes in the hole and down into the house, that's not a flood. That's water damage, and they'll pay for that. But if you've got water coming in from the ground and it's rising up, that's a flood. They're not paying for it. They're not paying
for it. So there has to be this distinction.
Yeah. You got to understand what you have. It's so, like, I guess the takeaway from today's show, folks, is you really can't be ignorant about your insurance needs and what you have and what it covers. And you got to ask the questions. So many people are scared to ask the questions because they think it's going to cost them money. And it might cost you money, but you got to know. Because if you don't know, when the time comes and you call the insurance company, you go, oh, I got a flood. I'm going to be, can you send somebody out? And they say, oh, really? Well, there was a really bad rainstorm. Did that water come in from outside and up? Yeah. Oh, we don't cover that. See you later. Click. And then, you know, you're sitting there with your ankle deep in water and you're ready to kill yourself because you didn't ask the right questions. It might cost you money in the front end. And you don't have to pay the money. Like, if you know, hey, I don't get covered for this type of loss, and you understand that and you accept that, that's fine. At least then when the flood happens, you know, don't even bother making the phone call.
Hey, listen, Jake from State Farm knows what he's supposed to know. You got to know what you're supposed to know on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. You got to know what's insured, what's not insured, what losses they'll pay for, what losses they won't pay for. 215-227-2727. Have you had some insanity, some craziness in insurance claims that you want to share with us? We're willing to listen. You know, I don't know how we even segue here, but we have to segue.
Well,
talk about losses.
When you were going through this issue, I'm pretty sure that from time to time you were doing business on a laptop, correct?
I was.
Right, and said laptop, as you know, has been in the news lately because of a certain president's son.
Is that where that came from, the laptop?
Yeah. Initially, the whole laptop conversation started from his laptop.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. And now this is going even further.
This is Hunter being Hunter.
And accusing.
Well, he claims he's repeating what he heard from some book he read. And the book says that Melania Trump was introduced to Donald by Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not sure why that's so defamatory.
Because he's Jeffrey Epstein.
What does that mean?
He's the Adolf Hitler of the sex trade. He's evil when it comes to sex.
Okay. There's no evilness.
Stop it. I said he's the evil side of this.
Okay.
He's the dark side of this. Right?
Anybody that he puts together is a suspect relationship?
Well, their relationship was kind of suspect. Her immigration status, her past as a quote-unquote model.
Uh-huh.
First lady with nude photos. Come on.
Did she have nude photos?
Yes. Google it. We all got them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't want to see those.
So, yeah, I mean, there's all of that. So there's a lot of that speculatory stuff out there that it could be damaging. But come on, again, it's Jeffrey Epstein, he's a bad guy, right?
Yeah, that's the claim.
Was.
The claim was. He's dead, but he went to prison. He was
He hadn't been convicted yet.
That's right.
He hadn't been, he was in holding.
That's right.
He was in holding.
And he was about to get a deal.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, well, I'm sure he would have gotten a deal.
He was offered a pretty good deal.
If he was the guy you say he was, and I'm not doubting it, then he had a lot of information on a lot of guys. And so a lot of guys in power. And so, yeah, I would have thought he would have gotten some kind of sweetheart deal.
What do you think would be the backlash if folks found out, Dean met his wife through Jeff Epstein?
Right.
How would that even play? Your colleagues would go, what?
It's bad PR.
It's just bad PR, man.
Bad PR.
The whole thing is just lurid.
But
so if he did not meet her through Jeffrey Epstein,
because it's hearsay.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah.
But that's all you need these days. But is this suit even palpable? Is this legitimate? Can she do this? Does it matter? Is
yeah.
this a number to go, ooh, look at this?
She can. Question is whether Hunter, who cites an excerpt from a book written by Michael Wolff, a Trump biographer, whether he can rely upon that and say, hey, you know, this is where I read it. I don't have any firsthand knowledge, but that's what I read in the book that Wolff wrote. And then the question is, you know, is it the Wolff book that needs to fall by the wayside if, in fact, it was not a true statement? And why didn't they sue Wolff?
Good question. He wrote it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hunter is merely reading that which he read from a book
he's
he read.
He's repeating something he heard, so to speak. And something she's suing him.
Like, you know, heard and read are two different things.
This book was published.
Yes, it was a published book.
Right.
And nobody made any claims then and since.
Exactly. So I don't see this going anywhere.
Not winnable at all?
But on the other hand, you know, it seems like Trump's been on a winning streak with regard to these kinds of claims. Mm-hmm. Everybody has, you know, bowed down and paid him some,
case in point,
security money.
Yeah, CBS bowed down to just so they can get a deal done with Skydance. They just
University of Pennsylvania bowed down, Columbia bowed down.
Exactly.
Yep.
So will Hunter bow down? I don't think so. Only because, you know, Hunter really doesn't have anything. What's he going to do? Offer him up $10,000?
He can't be defamed anymore. What else you got?
Right. But according to some people, it's the Biden crime family.
Yeah. But, you know, Hunter doesn't have deep pockets.
Not anymore.
Them pockets are sewed up. And so he doesn't have what it takes. And so when Melania goes to the lawyers to say, hey, let's sue, one of the things they look at is, are we going to collect anything? You know, what's the end result of this? And I don't think anybody's going to be all that insanely interested in pursuing this. And then the other thing is that subjects Melania to depositions and it potentially, you know, Trump. You know, he's going to have to go back in and be sworn in. And you know how he testifies, bad. And so I think that this is all, just flapping the lips. It's flapping the lips. I don't see this going anywhere.
Political theater.
Theater. Aren't you tired of all this chaos every single day?
I don't watch it anymore, and I don't.
You got to turn it off, right?
I unplugged. I do not. I really don't look at it. And when people like who are still in it call me to say, "Could you believe this or that?" I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, and I don't even want to know what you're talking about. And then that's probably not a good thing. That's what they want people like me to do is to unplug and just to close my eyes. But I'm figuring nothing's going to happen until the next election and then the next election. And we're either going to make some progress and we're going to, you know, have a story to tell and a plan of action that folks can get behind because there's not going to be enough angst against the administration to vote against them. Sure, there's going to be some people who say, I just will never vote for. But there's not enough of that. You've got to give somebody something that is good. And you've got to point out the good on your side. And then they have to say, yeah, that's better than and make a comparison to what things are now. And then we'll see if there's going to be, you know, a reckoning, a change of the guard, as they say.
I can just tell you that at the grocery store, not as a single man, nothing has gotten cheaper.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They say that salaries have gone up. People are making more money, but it's costing them more.
Right. So if it's got to be adjusted for the, inflation? If it's not adjusted for the cost of living increases, what good is it?
Yeah. Well, we're going to see what happens. I will say this, all right? And you know me. I have never been a fan of, never probably will be a fan of, his second 100 days in office were better than his first. I think I think if you're making a comparison,
his second 100 days better than his first. That's a tough one, Dean.
He's a little bit more presidential today than he was the first 100. He does, you know, like when they had that meeting in Alaska yesterday.
Did you watch that?
I didn't. I told you I unplugged.
I can't.
I did hear that he, when he left there, he really didn't say too much to the press. And that's not the way he normally was.
Except for an interview with Ox News, with Sean Hannity.
Oh, he did an interview?
He did an interview with Sean Hannity.
And what did he say? Not much.
Not much. A lot of this, a lot of that.
But yeah, we hope it works. You know, we think he's in the right page.
He said that he regretted actually doing the interview because there wasn't much really to say, or he didn't really want to say much.
Dean.
But he did say that Putin told him, yes, if you were president, This war wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
He was so happy. He was like, oh, I love this guy.
Yeah.
I was like, man, Putin knows just what to say to get to his heart.
Of course. Putin has a meeting with psychologists to figure out how to talk to a misogynist.
Dude was head of KGB. He ain't slow.
He got the playbook.
He got it.
Listen, he would never treat Putin the way they treated Zelensky. The way he gushes over this guy, it's sickening, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's sickening.
I understand. You're still involved. I'm not. I'm emotionally
detached. We can't turn it off, Dean, because we have to talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
You have the luxury. God bless you.
215-227-2727. Circling back to insurance claims, we here at My Philly Lawyer handle and work with clients who have horrible accidents and suffer horrible losses as a result of the negligence of others. And it's really what we do on a regular basis. We know that negligent party, that person who stepped on you, could be a corporation, a company. It could be that aggressive driver who, you know, was flipping around on the road and took you with them. It doesn't really matter who the at-fault party is. We're here to protect our clients and to make sure that our clients are made whole as a result. You know, our most seriously injured clients, I could say without a doubt, would walk away from all the money I ever got them if they could have their life back. And, you know, that is something, unfortunately, we can't do. But we can make sure that you have the best treatment, that you have that treatment for as long as you need it, whether it's a year or the rest of your life, and that the people who are paying for that are the ones who caused the injury in the first place.
Hear, hear.
We're also doing a number of mass torts. We're still doing hair relaxer.
Oh, good you to know, hear.
Yeah.
All right. Get your justice, ladies.
We have over 100 women who suffer with cancers as a result of using that hair relaxer product. I don't know if people are still using it. I know it's still being sold.
As it was?
Yes, yes. Well, it's what happens is it enters your body through microscopic openings in your scalp, and it gets into your bloodstream. And it changes your hormonal system so that you are now more susceptible to these types of cancers, endometrial cancer, cervical cancer. You become more susceptible to these cancers because of changes in your hormonal system. And so we have a lot of doctors who have supported this, and we're pursuing these claims vigorously. We thought in the beginning that we were going to pursue the cancers for not cancers. Lost it.
The cancers for what?
No, not cancers.
We're not talking about cancer.
Because we had a broader scope in the beginning of the types of cases that we were handling.
Yeah, as far as not the cancers, but
fibroids. That's right. Fibroids.
It took
a woman to come in and explain it to us.
It took a lady.
Yeah. We had thought that the fibroids were a claim that we could also connect. And I still think one day we will be able to, but the medical connections between those two aren't as strong as the cancer claims. So we are pursuing cancer claims for hair relaxer. Folks, if you know somebody who is suffering with some sort of gynecological cancer, we are connecting the use of hair relaxer to that disease, and we're happy to talk to them. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break. And if you're sitting on the line and you're thinking about a question you want to ask us, give us a call at 215-227-2727. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sirree. We're back. I am Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning. Oh, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and like.
Please yes.
Do. Yeah, that helps the
algorithm.
Yes. The algorithms.
The algorithms.
Yeah,
Algorithms. So all you folks that's watching, you need to hit the subscribe and like button to build our fan base.
Yes.
And our radio listeners, here is Takara on line one. Eric. Oh, Takara.
Good morning, Takara.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for calling us. What's your story?
Okay. So about a year ago, I joined a gym. I won't say their name, but it's not like a regular gym. So their main focus is you wore a EMS suit, which is electromuscular stimulation training. I worked out there about 3 or 4 days a week. The sessions were about 20 minutes. My first 2 months were great, so to speak, building my stamina. And one day I went there, and as I'm working out, I just didn't feel well. Like, I had the worst headache ever. I was short of breath. I was stopping in the midst of my workout training. I just was not feeling well. My suit, the vest portion of it, was always too tight, and we had that issue from day one. We ended up changing sizes, trying to make adjustments, like putting my shirt so it wouldn't press so much on my neck, the neck region. In this particular session, I just was not feeling good, and I kept telling her, like, something doesn't feel right. Even after my session, like, I had to lay down on the ground. Like, I was dizzy, extremely short of breath. I couldn't breathe very well. My head was pounding. This was on a Saturday. Come Sunday, my headache was even worse. I suffer from migraines, so I didn't really think nothing of it. I did my regular thing. Let me go take a nap, take some medicine. I'll wake up. I should be fine. I was not. Still going on about my day. Monday comes. I woke up, and my arm, my left arm, was hurting extremely bad. So I chalked it up like, oh, I worked out really good. I'm sore, but I'm dominant right hand, so I really couldn't understand why my left arm was hurting. 10 hours go by. I had to do an 8-hour shift of work, take care of my kids. I finally sat down to take a breather, and I just felt all this weight in my arm. My arm was extremely swollen. I went to the hospital. It turns out I ended up having a blood clot in my subclavian. I had to have surgery remove the clot. I was on Eliquis for about 3 months. Even talking to the physicians and telling them what transpired that weekend and during my session, they were all saying that they agreed that it was the suit that caused it. I have spoken to other lawyers, but I haven't really gotten anywhere. I'm just trying to see if I have a case. They were telling me that it's a product liability, but no one's really, I guess, willing to take the case. But that experience, like, honestly changed my life. If anything, I've been just trying to get healthy, and I go there, and the scariest possible thing happened to me.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, had you ever had any issues with blood clots before this incident?
Never.
Okay. Because the blood clot problem is a known problem with these electric stimulation suits. Ooh, I mean, it doesn't happen probably often, but it certainly can happen because of them. And, the question is, was it the suit that caused the problem? Probably. Was it because it was used incorrectly? You said something about it not sizing properly. Can that increase the odds of it happening? So, if you did bring a suit, it would probably have to be brought against both the company that made the suit and also
the gym,
because, two things that come to mind. One, you told the woman that you're working out with that you were having a problem, and she continued to have you working out. Mm-hmm. And second of all, she knew that there was a sizing issue, and if that could lead to an increased risk, then she had an obligation to make sure you were sized correctly. So there's no way you're going to be able to bring this claim without bringing it against both the manufacturer as well as the gym. Now, the gym may have an out because you may have signed a waiver when you became a member of the gym. So that we would have to look at that and make sure that there was no waivers that would prevent you from bringing the claim. And then the products liability claim against the manufacturer, that would be not only against the manufacturer, but everybody in the distribution chain. So if the people who made this suit, sold it to a third party, and that third party sold it to a retailer, theoretically, everybody along the way is potentially a defendant in that claim. It's a very expensive claim, as you could imagine, because you're going to have to get experts. You're going to have to get experts who can opine that the suit was the cause of your problem.
How about the doctors that actually treated her?
Well, of course, they're going to have to come in to talk about what her injury is and whether it's permanent or not. And I suspect it's not permanent. I suspect that she had an injury, and she is healed from that injury. And that may be ultimately the problem with the case, because it may have value. Let's say you know, whatever, $100,000, $200,000.
Through pain and suffering as far as she having to go in and yes. surgery and stuff.
But the cost to litigate a products liability claim may be getting close to the value of the claim.
Well, you said that the suit had been known to cause clots.
Yes.
So does the suit come with a disclaimer? Do you have to sign a waiver prior to?
That's a whole other issue. This may be what's called a claim for failure to notify. So it may be a warnings claim. Like, they should have warned her, do not wear this suit. Or one of the side effects of the suit is that you could get blood clots. Right. I don't know that she would have. Let's get to Kyra back on. If you had known beforehand that this was a possibility, that not likely, but it's a possibility that you could have had a blood clot from using the suit, would that have stopped you from using the suit?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So the warning for her, you know, is an important part of the whole process. And if they did not warn her, and then the question is, did they warn the – because did you own this suit or was
it – you had to buy it outright or yeah?
You use it for the time you were working out at that gym?
We only used it at the time we were at the gym.
Got it. So the question is, did they warn the owner of the gym that this is a possibility? And then does that owner have an obligation to warn to Kyra?
She didn't buy it through the gym, did she?
No, she used it through the gym.
Okay. Everyone uses these same suits
over,
huh?
When she's done, they put that suit on you.
Right. Is that sanitary? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going
there.
I'm not going there.
It goes over your clothes, correct, Kyra?
Yes, it does. Like shirt and like tights that they have you put on, and then they put the suit on, and then they wet it, and then you know everything is battery packed and it's connected to their little iPads and stuff.
Wow, it sounds a little
wet.
Yeah,
and batteries. Have a little. Two words you don't associate.
It's like a Clockwork Orange. You know.
Oh, now you're dangerous.
Is it safe?
Takara, if you have a 2-year statute of limitations to bring a claim. I'm happy to have a conversation with you off the radio. Please give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have called you guys, and I don't think I was told that I actually – the information that you gave me is not the information that I got.
Okay. Well, I would ask you to give us a call and ask for Jay Berger on Monday. Tell Jay you spoke to me on the radio and see if he can make a referral for you to a products liability attorney.
Perfect. I greatly appreciate it. I've been trying to call you guys for a couple months and I can never get through. So I was stuck and I'm so happy I got through today. I greatly appreciate the advice and the information.
Right. Have a great Saturday. Thanks for calling us, Takara. Be well.
You as well. You too.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I never even heard of this before.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Denise on line two, Eric. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thanks. But now that you've called, we are really doing well.
We're better.
Doing much better.
Oh, well, wow, thank you. You made my day, right? I just wanted to ask you guys a quick question. I didn't think much of it until I heard you guys. But, I was listening to what you had to say about the lawsuits related to the hair relaxer, and my mother just recently passed away in November.
I'm so
and
sorry.
She, thank you, related to ovarian cancer, and she, I know, had talked with a law firm, and I think she wanted to be part of a class action lawsuit related to the hair relaxer, but I'm not sure, and obviously, she didn't get to finish doing what she needed to do because she was battling cancer for the second go around with ovarian cancer. This time, she was battling it for 2 years, so she couldn't really. She was really not in a position to move forward. But I was wondering, is that something that I could pursue on her behalf?
Okay, so...
I mean, not that I'm trying to get a windfall.
Well, but, no. Listen, if you're entitled to something, then you're entitled to it. And I want to unpack your question. First of all, it's been less than 2 years since Mom passed, correct?
Correct.
Okay, because there's a hard 2-year statute of limitations on this. And so you get past 2 years, you haven't done anything, you're never going to do anything.
But isn't it all about when she actually started the process?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. We do not know if Mom has joined a claim somewhere. I would assume Denise would have found some paperwork from a law firm that says we represent Denise's mom. Did you ever find that paperwork?
There was something, and honestly, I would have to go back and find it because I'm not sure if this was something that was related to the first bout that she had or for this last go-around. And I don't think it was for this last one because,
okay.
Well,
I mean, the hair relaxer litigation has been in existence for a little more than a year. If it was beyond that, then chances are she wasn't involved in hair relaxer litigation.
Hmm.
The answer is, like, you'd have to raise an estate. Have you done that for your mother yet? Have you had to do that? Did she have any property that needed to pass through a probate?
Yes, that's already been done. Everything's been done.
And who's the administrator for that estate?
I am.
Okay. And do you have any siblings, or are you the sole heir to your mom's estate?
I have a brother.
Okay. So this claim is for the estate, and it is shared equally by you and your brother. But yeah. You, as the administrator, could sign paperwork to bring Mom's claim under the fold of an attorney who may be able to pursue it. Now, from a factual standpoint, it's a little bit iffy because you're going to be asked questions like, how often did Mom use hair relaxer over her lifetime? What products did she use? Where did she buy those products? And you're going to need answers to those questions, because if you don't have answers to those questions, then you don't have the basic underpinnings of what we would need to pursue a claim on her behalf. Excuse me. If you do have answers to those questions, then you're certainly capable of pursuing this claim on behalf of your mother's estate to the benefit of you and your brother. Because if you could say, yes, I talked to Mom and I know that she used the products, or maybe her girlfriends know this, you know, this is a conversation you have with her girlfriends who can say, yeah, we did it together all the time. You know, we used them 2 or 3 or 4 times a year back in the 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s or whatever. If you had that kind of factual information that may be best shared with you by somebody who was her peer and they know the product she used and they know that she bought it and she used it at home or she went to this salon, then you have what we would need to put a case together for you. So does that make sense?
Absolutely.
All right. So if you think you can do what I suggested, then I'd say, please give us a call on Monday morning and we'll get moving on it, because time is of the essence.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I will definitely do that.
Thanks, Denise. Have a great Saturday and talk to you next week.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
215.
All right. Bye-bye.
227-2727. 215-227-2727. Someone said we haven't been saying the number enough.
Okay. Yeah. And that number brings you into the fold of the family, you know?
Are we the family?
Yeah.
Not the firm. Family.
The family firm.
The family firm. Good one.
So, you know, and I don't know. I still feel like when I'm representing clients that they are like family.
I can see that.
And I want to make sure that, you know, that they get taken care of and that they're not taken advantage of by the process. And so many lawyers and law firms, unfortunately, don't have that mindset. And they kind of just, you're a widget and you go in and you get lost in the sauce.
It's part of the process.
Yeah.
On and, a you conveyor know, belt, so to speak.
A conveyor belt. That's a good analogy. Not that way at My Philly Lawyer. Not that way.
That's why you won that award the last time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We are the gold medalist. Nobody better than us when it comes to personal injury in Philadelphia. We are Philly's favorite law firm.
So it is written.
So it shall be.
Amen. Number one. Number one.
There you go.
Dean, school starts in a week or so.
Yes, sir.
Which means there'll be more school buses on the road. You said your daughter catches a school. What, yes. One of the kids, right? Catches
both of them. Yep. Both of them. Yeah.
There are some school bus rules and do's
love
and don'ts.
Love to talk about it, but it's going to have to be after the break.
Okay.
Folks, we got a 2-minute break for our sponsors. We'll be right back after this. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah, baby. We were just talking about cigars.
Were we?
I am a member at a place in Conshohocken called Cigar Republic.
There's a humidor. Was it humidor?
It is a humidor.
Humidor.
Yeah, they've got a gigantic humidor. It's a really nice place. It's open to the public. It's also a private club.
Your cigar of choice?
Padron.
Padron.
Yes, yes. Padron. Padron.
I mean, you know, you always, now do you still, because you drive to work with a cigar.
I do.
You leave it in the parking lot.
I do.
How many cigars a day are you?
Maybe 3.
And when you're playing cards, cigar?
Oh, yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Big cloud of smoke, cigars.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Padrones.
Padrones. For me, I mean, you know, the other guys, they smoke.
What they smoke?
Philly Blunt or something. I don't know. They aren't too particular.
All right, well,
especially that guy, Chris. That guy, Chris, is. He really will smoke anything that's got a wrapper on
YouTube.
It.
Yeah. On YouTube.
Segwaying from the smoke, we teased
school buses.
Yeah.
Don't smoke while driving.
Please. And make sure you stop for the extended arm. Do not stop.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go around the school bus. You will be busted.
They got cameras.
Yeah, they do.
The buses have cameras too?
Yeah.
10 feet. You must stay a minimum of 10 feet between the vehicle and the school bus. Drivers must remain stopped until the bus's red lights stop flashing and the arm is retracted. Drivers must wait until children have safely crossed the road. If a school bus is stopped at an intersection, traffic in all directions must stop, even if there's no median separating the lanes. Mm-hmm. That's that could get a little dicey. That could slip some people up.
I know.
Yeah. And you could have up to a 60-day license suspension for a school bus violation.
I believe it.
All right, we got an anonymous caller. Line one, anonymous.
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good.
All right.
Okay, what's happening is that, like, back in 79, right, the teacher beat me up and put me in the hospital. Really bad.
Wow.
And, yeah. So, long story short, right?
Yeah.
All right. Of course, I'm very messed up over it. I even had a psychologist to help me out with it.
Yep.
So, at that time, my sister told me just recently that my mom and pop had a chance to sue him, but they didn't pursue it. And I'm trying to figure out that, you know, at my age and the way things is, I understand statute of limitation, but I heard that there was a group or something like that that was trying to extend on certain type of things that might have happened to some people.
Okay. So I'm not aware of any extension that would fit the bill for you. There is a 2-year statute of limitations. Because you were a minor at the time, that statute is told. It doesn't run until your 18th birthday, and then it runs from 18 to 20. So it would have ended on your 20th birthday. There are sex offenses that have had extended statutes of limitations for, you know, upwards of 30 years. You know, when I was a new attorney, they were just getting into something called repressed memory, where, like, you had blocked it out, and then through psychological treatment, it came back out again, and that extended the statute. But those were all for sex offenses, sex abuse, rape, things of that nature.
Wouldn't fit me because, like I said, I'm 60 now, and I just recently found out. So even if I was 20, I still wouldn't have. You know, I never known even at 20. I actually didn't even know nothing about it. But the main thing is, it was dealing with the way he touched me, and then he beat me the hell up and put me in the hospital. So there might be
An element of sex there, but I don't. My gut says probably not. Statute limitations can be very tricky, and so. You should probably call somebody, and when you said you didn't remember it, but now, when did that memory come back?
No, I didn't remember. It's every day.
I really did suffer,
you know.
I think maybe another trip to the psychologist for some more therapy would be in order. I remember when I was in Hebrew school. And I'm turning around, and I'm talking to the kid behind me, and the teacher, Mr. Cohen, his name was, he comes up with the Bible or something, like this just gigantic book, and whacks me on the top of the head, knocked me out. I was like,
I'm pretty sure that was some type of abuse, Dean.
Yeah, I'm sure there was, but we didn't do anything about that.
How old were you?
Just lifted you back up again and said,
"How old were you in Hebrew school?"
Teachers back in the day, man.
I was maybe 11.
Yeah,
11, 12.
Yeah, in third grade, I had a teacher that, you know, she used to shake the kids when we were bad. Like, shake it. You know, like, teachers back in the day, it was different, bro.
Yeah.
The paddle, man. The paddle in the coat room.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got away with some things back then. I don't know if that.
Corporal punishment.
Corporal punishment. That sounds completely different than the anonymous caller.
Yeah.
You know, he sounds like he was. You know, that was
major abuse.
Yeah, that was actionable.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do people think, what's our YouTube listening audience think? Do you think it's better to have some level of corporal punishment. Or
you can't do
in
that
the schools?
Today. You can't do that today.
In the schools? No.
Yeah.
Well,
you get shot.
Yeah.
You can't do that today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think, I wonder if parents feel like they can, you know, slap their kid on the butt, let's say.
Well, these days, you know, your kid will call DHS in a heartbeat, right?
I don't know if corporal punishment is the answer. I think we've grown beyond that.
Was it the answer back in the day?
I don't know about that, but
now you just take away their cell phones. That's corporal punishment.
You can't play PlayStation. No! Now,
the parents may even have a problem with that.
We're running out of time, folks, unfortunately, as we always do. We'll see you next Saturday at the same time and place.